listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies. Hello. We just finished, of course. I mean, we just passed Thanksgiving, so we are now moving forward to the holidays. And one of the, well, of course, after the fire that happened and all this mass shootings and everything, we want to tackle about how to grieve for the holidays, grieving through the holidays, which is very hard, especially, you know, with me and my sisters who are a guest here. You know, this is our first holiday without our father, and we're going to have to talk about it. For a lot of people, the holiday season is a happy time. There's family, friends, good food, and gifts, of course. But for all the people who are celebrating, there are also people who are suffering with grief as well because of something that happened or is happening in their lives. This will be my first holiday season without both my parents. I lost my mother as a teenager, and my father passed early this year. While I'm doing many of the same things that I normally would, I can't ignore that there's one less person for me to share this time with. I know that there are many people in similar situations, people dealing with the loss of some kind, and I hope that this episode's especially helpful, will be helpful for all of you guys who are suffering with the same situation as us. So introducing my co-host for today is Dr. Yvonne Thomas. She's a psychologist and a contributor author as well of so many topics and books, right?
Thank you.
And then my sister, Andrea Carlisle, and Gretchen, who is on the line, Gretchen Rodriguez Gonzalez. Hi.
Hi.
All right. Doc, I want to start the first, you know, I want her to like really tell us, what are the five stages of grieving? Or is it five or just, I know that there are stages of grieving, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was famous for creating this paradigm of five stages of grieving. Mm-hmm. There can be more. There can be more, but these are pretty classic ones. Mm-hmm. So the first stage, and I think everybody goes through this.
Yes.
Not everybody goes through all the five, but this one is classic.
Yeah.
Whether you have a sudden death or you have an elongated, drawn-out illness that leads to death.
Yeah.
It's denial. I call it numbness or shock. Any of that is kind of all the same.
Yeah. Yes, we felt that.
You guys have felt it? Yes. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's universal. Every client I've ever worked with that has dealt with this, whether they've lost a spouse, a parent, significant other, you know, family member, friend, it's universal. And I call it being swaddled in cotton. It's almost like everything's so muffled because you're so numbed out. Like anesthesia is another way I put it.
Yes.
But then you feel the waves kind of crashing in and out of the feelings, which goes into some of the other steps that Dr. Kubler-Ross was talking about. Mm-hmm. So first step, per her, is denial. Mm-hmm. Next step or stage is anger. Not everybody goes through, but I guess you went through that.
I went through that. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, why me or why them? Why did this happen to them? They were a good person. Mm-hmm. They went too early before their time, or they weren't hurting anybody. They're living a great life. They were happy. How could you take them away? And there's so many other people in the world that you know maybe should have been not here.
Yeah.
So anger often is that second step. Third step or stage, as she put it, is bargaining. Now, not everybody does the bargaining one.
Yeah,
this one I hear not as common.
All right.
So this would be if somebody says, if you believe in God, or you believe in a higher power, or you believe in, you know, like, let's say, fate, destiny.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to, like, make an agreement, bargain with, you know, like, I will never swear again, you know, if you bring them back to me, or I won't jaywalk again, or I'll be, you know, perfect to everybody. It's like trying to reason with, like, please bring them back or let them come back. Let this not be real.
Wow. So it's not accepting the realization that the person is already gone, right?
No. No, they're not accepting it.
Okay.
They're not. Actually, we'll get to that stage.
Okay. Okay.
Not yet, though, because there's a journey here.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The fourth step or stage is depression.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of people go through
definitely
that.
Definitely
with
that.
You both yeah. 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 I've seen a lot of my clients go through that, too. Mm-hmm. And you know what it is? And this is the way I kind of talk it over with them, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you go through denial and the numbness and the shock, and it all kind of starts to wear off over mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. Usually after the first year, you start to feel things more acutely, sharply. Going into the second year can be the harder year.
Wow.
Because
really?
You're not so, like, numbed out. You start to really believe, like, oh, my God, I've been through a whole year without that person.
Yeah.
And that's when the reality starts coming, and that's when the anger might even more be there, or the bargaining. And the depression happens.
My gosh, we're still not done.
Oh, no. No, I'm telling you, it's
probably for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
To some degree, it will get better. It does get better. But, you know, the bargain. So when you get from denial, anger, bargaining, and you get to this point of, oh, my God, I've been numbed out, and mm-hmm. it's still true that they're gone. I've been angry, and they're not back. And then I was trying to bargain, if people do that, to try to win them back. They're not back. And then it really hits them. Then they get depressed. They're like, oh, my God. They're not ever coming back. And sometimes, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that is the step and stage people stay in. They could stay in that step and stage forever.
Ever.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's really a sad thing. Yeah, I've had clients that have started to do therapy with me that never grieve losses from 20 years
ago. Yeah, I was going to say, is it okay
ago.
Not to grieve?
No.
No, right?
No.
But
no.
How do you, like, how...
And then the last step?
Yeah.
Just so you know, acceptance.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you guys, a lot of people never get there because they don't grieve. In answer to what you were saying?
Yeah.
They don't grieve at all or not enough all the way through.
Yeah.
How do you know that you've passed that, that stages? But I know I've passed the anger because... I literally fought with every single person in my household.
Yes.
I was angry with everyone. Yeah. I just wanted to talk to my siblings. I feel like they're the only ones that can relate to me, and the others won't really understand me. Of course, I call Max. I feel like even then, I feel like I just want to talk to my siblings. Because I feel like they're the only ones that will really understand me. And even if I cry, I know that they will accept.
Yes.
But the others, I just had a huge fight with every single one in my...
Yeah, I ignored all my friends.
Yeah.
I was like, don't talk to me right now.
But they're still your friends.
Yeah, of course.
They understood.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, you're still... Did you hear that, Gretchen? We haven't passed the depression yet.
Sorry, I know.
Guys. Sorry, guys.
And, you know, but it's not so like... You know, exact, right?
Yeah.
The five stages, but they mix and match. Like, you know, you think you're done with mm-hmm. anger. Not always. Sometimes some of these pieces come back. It kind of goes back and forth.
I know. Yeah. I'm still not done because sometimes I still get... I know I get irritated very fast.
Okay.
I feel like before I used to be so sweet to my husband, like kids, but now I thought it's menopause, but but I feel like, I just got, you know, it's... And my patience is just, like, different. I mean,
it's such a trauma. I mean, the way that it tends to work, mm-hmm. this is important for people to know, is it's proportional, mm-hmm. meaning however much you love that person, the loss is going to be equally that strong. It's really bittersweet.
Does this apply even if you weren't as close to the person that you lost? We're not close to our dad, but for other people who lost their parents or loved ones but they're not close to them, do they feel this, or will they go equally to this kind of stages even if they're not as close as they are? Or
that's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes those people are racked mm-hmm. with guilt or remorse or regret. Or ambivalence. It's mm-hmm. like, well, I didn't care about them anyway. They weren't very nice to me, or they didn't love mm-hmm. me very much, you know. But then it's like, oh my God, but what we could have had.
Yeah.
So some people are not even grieving the real person because maybe they just could never have a healthy relationship with them. Parents, you know, siblings, spouse, whatever. But they grieve the dream. This is what they say. The hopefulness, the wish of, they always wished or hoped it could get better one day. The problem is when they're dead, there is no more one day.
Yeah.
And that's so the part. Sad. It's so sad. It's like this dream is dead.
I'm sure that happens a lot. I'm sure that happens a lot.
It does. Yeah. It does. But I just find it so ironic that the more you love somebody, the harder the loss is going to be. I know it's kind of common sense, but it's not what you expect. You kind of think, oh, how lucky I was to have them. Mm-hmm. But then you don't realize that grieving their loss is going to be equally as intense because you love them that much. That means the loss was that much.
Yeah. So how do you think, how can we, celebrate the holidays without them? I mean, what are the things that we should do or practice or what should we do? Because I don't know what to expect when that day comes.
Yeah, same.
But no.
It's literally like the first Christmas without our father. So it's going to be it's going to be an interesting one.
As it should be, and that's important that people feel their feelings. They have to, because again, it's not healthy, like we were talking about earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to, because otherwise it's like it just stays stuck in you, and it's so much energy to repress feelings. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't know you're doing it consciously, it's so unnatural, right? Feelings come up for a reason, typically.
Yeah.
And if you repress them, can you imagine going through your whole life just trying to just push them down? Like, look how much energy you could be putting towards other things more productive in your life.
Yeah, that's true. Gretchen, what amongst the five stages, what was the most difficult for you and why? I mean, have you dealt with any of those? Gretchen?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've done a very good job of just kind of burying whatever it is that I've been feeling about Dad's passing way deep down, really, really deep down.
Yeah.
So that I don't feel it because I don't want to feel it. But then what ends up happening is, so I go day by day, I try not to think about it. I don't feel it. I don't let myself acknowledge it. And I just keep going my everyday, usual, busy life.
Yeah.
And then when the time comes that I have to talk about it, then all of a sudden I get overwhelmed with emotion. I start crying. And then I tell myself, no, you're not feeling this right now. Put it back down. Mm-hmm. And then I keep moving again. So Gigi, I started seeing a therapist, and actually the very first time that I spoke of Dad in my session, I started crying. Mm-hmm. And I find it, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are lots of other people out there who do the same thing. It's just so overwhelming to deal with it that you just choose to not.
Yeah, that's
so I feel like I haven't gone through any stages because I just won't let myself feel anything. Or maybe it's just denial. I'm just going to be like in denial.
So you're
for
still
years.
Still on the first stage of denial. And so with her daughter Yvonne, she's basically trying to she's in denial, she's on the numbing stage. And so so she's trying to block off, the passing of our dad from her life, right? This is what she's doing. And she's not really dealing with it until you saw the therapist, right, Gretch?
Right.
Yeah, so do you feel better now? I mean, you think it was the right decision that for you to at least deal with this therapist instead of, keeping yourself busy and not thinking about it, denying, that we lost Dad? Is this helping you a little bit?
I guess so. I don't know. It's just so weird. I can't even describe it. Like when, last weekend we went to Houston and we cleared out all of Dad's things. And I flew back to California. And as we were taking off, I was looking at the landscape in Houston and I thought to myself, I'm probably never going to come back here. This is probably the last time I'll ever see Houston. And I started crying.
So I
feel like that's been my grief since Dad passed, are these just like moments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between them, it's nothing. It's just numbness. It's like void.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been, that's how I've grieved so far.
Yeah. So she's experiencing that thing that I was going to mention about, like, Gretchen, you're experiencing that, and people go through this in the beginning mm-hmm. a lot. Mostly you're numb or in that denial or shock, but the waves, I call it, come crashing through out of the blue, or sometimes because you hear a song that would remind you from
your dad. Oh, that really.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know.
That's like the main thing for me.
I know, yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. You know, or a restaurant you had gone to with them, or holidays, of course. So there could be certain triggers that are obvious, like, oh my God, of course, that reminds me of Dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there can be just out of the blue.
Yeah.
There's nothing that would seem to be like a reason.
Yeah.
You start to feel something, but then the waves, as I call it, come crashing through, and it can be pretty intense.
Yeah.
Oh, now, like your sister Gretchen is saying, and I guess you're all saying, you know, that it's like it goes back and forth, and you just never know when you're going to feel so much. But then it's almost like a protective kind of coping mechanism where you have, like, swaddled in cotton, like I'm saying. It's like the numbness is your friend in the beginning because it's too much for a person to handle all the whole time. Can you imagine all those feelings crashing through for 24 hours a day?
Wow.
Mm-mm. So it has to kind of little by little start to come through.
I have a question here. What is the... you've been through the five stages as well, right?
I don't know about the bargaining. I mean, I've definitely been praying more and talking to my dad, but I don't know if I'm, like, bargaining.
For him to come back.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that. I'm kind of, I've accepted the fact that he's gone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, wherever he is now.
Yes.
But I was numb for a while, and I was, like, distracting myself with, like, work and stuff.
Sure.
But I definitely went through the depression, and I definitely cry at least once a week. Or more.
I know.
Sure. And the holidays might be more. Any anger?
Yeah.
I've been, like, for a few months, I was, like, irritable with my friends a lot. Because they would, like, you know, ask me to do things. And I'm like, I don't even feel like doing that right now.
Yeah.
Like, why are you asking me to do
it? People feel so apathetic.
Yeah.
So you both went through the anger.
Yeah, I went through that. So I have a question for my two. I want to, like, lighten it up a little bit. So what are the fondest memory, you know, that you can share with us, that we did with Dad during holidays?
I would always go to church with Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
And it was funny because me and Dad would always... Dad would always fall asleep, and he snores really loud.
He snores, and so
that I will miss, and just being in church with him, and he would crack jokes in church all the time, and then just, you know, experiencing that every Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
And then now it's like, and I won't be there anymore.
How about you, Gretch?
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't have too many holidays with Dad. I was always in New York, far away from everybody.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think is going to be really hard for me is, regardless of where I was, even if I wasn't home, I always got a text or a phone call from him every year without fail.
I know.
On Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's Eve, always.
Aww.
And
I know.
Yeah.
You're not feeling numb now. Yeah. Everybody's feeling that.
I know. So, for all of you who are just tuning in, we are talking about grieving through the holidays, and it's really, really hard. It's not. I mean, the holidays is, you know, it's fast approaching, and so I feel like we really need to talk about this. And
what about you?
Huh?
You mentioned your fondest memory.
Oh, actually, I will always vividly remember the last Christmas because he was here.
Yeah.
And
and he was totally fine.
He was totally fine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So this was a shock.
Oh, yeah. It happened so fast.
But only one thing that I noticed is he was like so weak, because I took him shopping, and that Christmas, it was before Christmas, and normally he can walk. He's like, he can walk, he works out, he exercises, but that particular day, he just wanted to sit. Oh, and so I said, why is he like so tired? I just thought he was so exhausted.
Yeah, that's what
little
I
that we know that he already had cancer.
Oh,
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was like my.
Oh, I know.
I think it's memorable because,
Yeah, me and Lordy and Westy were trying so hard to go down there to LA to see him.
Yeah, I remember.
And oh my gosh, we were trying so hard, but it couldn't happen. And that's another thing that I keep doing. Like, if I had tried a little bit harder, you know, I would have been able to spend more time with him. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't do enough.
Yeah. You know? So is it true that every time you say their name, the spirit lives on?
Oh, yeah. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Yes, yes, yes. Because, I mean, whether you believe in spirits or souls living on.
Yeah.
But it's like you keep them alive in some fashion. You know what I mean?
Really?
You keep them. Yeah. Because you don't forget them. I mean, there's all different ways of not forgetting, right? Like, we're going to talk about how to deal with some of the holiday stuff.
Yeah.
And some of what you're doing right now is actually one of those great things to do that I have clients doing, and they really have felt it's helped.
Talk about
you love the most about them during the holidays, or you know, the funniest joke they ever told, or the greatest present they ever gave you, or if you gave them a great present and they were delighted and you could see the look on their face.
I mean,
it doesn't just have to be about holidays only. You can talk about just them in general, but oh my God, it's like a celebration of life. A lot of people are doing that lately. You know, when there's memorials, they're actually making them more celebratory.
I know. That's what I've noticed as well, right, Gretchen? Like, because there's five of us, and when we talk and we see each other and we talk about him and all the fun things that he, like, he did, it's actually like, oh my gosh, like, it's a fun thing to remember the good things, the, you know, good times that we had, right?
Yeah, definitely therapeutic and very comforting.
Yeah,
to find to remember the funny things he did, his ridiculous dad jokes.
Yeah, I know,
things like that.
And I think one more thing that I, you know, I may advise. I know that I'm not like perfect, but tell me if I'm wrong. There are things that our loved ones who passed did to us in our past, and it could have hurt us or did something not really bad, but something that have hurt us or in our childhood. I felt like I advised my siblings about this, you know, whatever dad did to us before, we have to like forgive him, like you know, forgive him for what he has done. You know, I'm sure whatever pain or things that had happened in our past, it actually, or we learn from it. Mm-hmm. There was a lesson that was, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. was, that happened or that was done out of that pain.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Is that what it's, can you like?
That was very well put.
Yeah.
Seriously. And nothing's perfect anyway, so don't even worry. Yeah. Another specialty, perfectionism.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are no perfect relationship, you know, with the family. Even if you really love each other, there's always one thing that, you know, would always hurt us. Right, Gretch?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So is there any more advice? Because, before we wrap up, is there any more advice that you want to, you know, give us?
Yeah, so just to kind of like confirm and verify what you were saying. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. If you can find a way to forgive the person, especially if you know about their background, you know, listen, people are not born in a vacuum or on an island. Mm-hmm. People are the way they are maybe because of their childhoods. Yeah. Most parents do not mean to hurt their children.
Yes.
Most, thank God.
Yes.
Yeah. But nobody comes out perfect. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect people. Mm-hmm. And so just understanding, like, why are they the way they are? Maybe they didn't get certain things they needed growing up. Yeah. Unintentionally. Yeah. And just to remember, it's like nobody is perfect, but remember the good stuff too. Don't just focus on what you didn't get from the parent.
Yeah.
Come on, we've got to have a holistic, full picture, right? Because people often just think about the one side, the negative side, and they often don't think about the whole picture.
Actually, forget about the negative side. You know, forget about those
facts. You've got to forgive and forget and let it go and learn. I always say glean the wisdom. When there's a hardship in life, be it the fires we've been having, be it the shootings, you know, and the terrible stuff going on, you know, here and in the country, and, you know, we got to learn stuff. We have to learn. Otherwise, to me, it's a double trauma and a double tragedy, because it's like we went through a difficult time in our lives, but for what? We don't learn anything. It's like wasted lesson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So true.
And Gretchen's going, so I think that the most important thing is, don't take anything for granted. Get together on the holidays. This teaches people not to assume. I always tell my clients, please don't assume anything, because people are usually wrong.
Yes.
We can't predict stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But don't think like, oh, we'll always get together. I can skip this holiday. No. Yeah. This is a time you guys need each other.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Absolutely.
If you're all able to be together, all five of you, I guess, or even on Skype.
Yeah,
you know,
where
you
even can, on Skype, right?
Even on Skype, it's so
lucky.
And to celebrate the life of your dad. And,
I know.
And not bury it, not just pretend everything's fine, and please, and cry if you feel like crying.
I know, that's what I said.
I tell the clients all the time, it's a testament to how much you loved them and feel about them.
Yeah, that's
you should
so
never
true.
Be ashamed.
This one question, how do you start the conversation that our loved one isn't here anymore, but we have each other?
Oh, that's a good one. No matter how close or not you are to the siblings, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know.
But we're really close. But the others, I mean, I'm not, you know, but for other people who are watching and who are not as close, how do you?
Well, I think the way to approach it is that we are who are left, and in honor of the person who passed, in this case your dad, and your mom has passed too, so it's like you guys have to carry the torch. So it's almost like we need to carry on the traditions and have respect for our loved ones that made an effort to celebrate holidays and make our family unified together.
Yeah.
And to not let that die too. Keep their traditions going. Keep values going.
Yeah.
Keep.
Yeah.
I mean, to say we have to carry on.
So we have
it's
to
like
keep
follow the legacy. Or
definitely.
Yeah.
So we have to keep listening.
Keep listening.
Yeah. We have to listen to Elvis every day.
That is.
And sing along.
Sing along with Elvis.
There could be worse things. That's pretty benign. And see, it makes you guys laugh, which is so heartwarming, right? It's heartwarming because then that just makes you feel that connection to your dad again.
Yeah, that's
and his legacy, as you were saying.
So maybe, Gretch, that is not the last time you're going to go to Houston. Maybe we'll have to go one day. we haven't spread his ashes, so maybe we'll have to like say that, right? Okay,
right.
So doctor, we have to go. It's so short. But where can they find you? Do you have any website or any social media that they can reach you?
So I'm a licensed psychologist. I have 3 degrees in psychology. I love the field. And I'm in Brentwood, Los Angeles, right between Westwood and Santa Monica, the cities. And I have a website. It's www.yvonne, which is Y, V like Victor, O, N like Nancy, another N, E, Thomas, Thomas, PhD. No, wait, I'm going to try to remember my own website. www.yvonnethomasphd.com.
Okay.
And I have a lot of stuff up there. I actually have an article or two that I've been quoted on different things about grief and loss, and I have free stuff up there for people to read about, and I have different specialties.
Yeah. And we're going to invite her again next year for another really good episode, which is it's about acne, how acne can give you what do you call that? Depression and anxiety, right?
Oh. Yes, and lower the self-esteem.
And lower the
self-esteem.
Totally,
I've done that for years.
We have to talk about that because there's a lot of teenagers that are going through. Okay, so for my advice, you guys, because I've been through this twice, make sure to grieve. Do not block grieving by getting yourself busy because somehow it will affect you later on. It can harm you, you know, your thinking, your career, even your marriage, your relationship with your family. It will really do. Be sure that you went through the stages of grieving. I mean, as Dr. Thomas said, you know you're done when you finally accepted that he or she's gone. Also, find the things that will help you with grieving. For me, it helped a lot to think that my dad is now with our Creator, with our God, with our Father. That really helped me a lot. I felt like he's much happier wherever he is right now. And that really, that helped me get peace in my heart and mind, even if I still really miss him. And then it will really take a while to heal and really get that acceptance, as Dr. Thomas said. However, for the meantime that I'm trying to heal, I try to continue. This is weird. I wrote about this and you just said it. I try to continue the legacy that my dad, Max just told me this the other day, wanted me to do and to spread love.
Yeah.
He always says that whenever he, every time he, you know, sends us stuff about love. Yeah. And he really taught me everything about it. So, I'm sorry. By advising on the show, helping women and people who need help, trying to help women find light and love in their lives. So part of my advice is that find that purpose that you think you needed to do in life. Somehow I found this and really made it clear that I should do it when my father passed away. It was literally after my father passed. I mean, I was crying to Max, and he was told, "This is what your dad wanted you to do. So do it." So I really did it. So some clarity on what you needed to do with your life. It will make you stronger. So tip of the day, the holidays are supposed to be a fun time of joy and reflection. If you find yourself grieving, do not ignore it. Cry if you need to. Do not be embarrassed. Find a quiet room where you can get your emotions out, or talk about the good times and good memories you had with him or her. Enjoy your holiday. Please give love to the next person after watching this show. Thank you so much. This made me cry. So thank you, Gretchen. So nice. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Jessica.
And of course, we're going to, you know, talk about Dad. Our dad's name is Bobby.
Bobby!
Thank you so much, Dr. Yvonne. Gretchen, I hope you're going to be okay.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.